Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jaya. Om Ajñāna Timurandasya Jñānañjana Shalakaya Daksurunglitam yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Caitanya Manobhistam Dapitam yena Bhutale Sayam rupa kadamayam dadati sapadantikam vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhayevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna
Krishna
Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Raise your hands if either you're from New Jersey or living in New Jersey. Wow. I might as well go to New Jersey. And next week I will. I'll have the seminar. We're starting the same seminar at the Jagannath Mandir there. Gopiki Shores. What? 11 to 1, and then New Jersey Prashad on next Saturday. Okay, let's chant all the verses. We didn't do that last time. Okay, we can begin. Cheto Dharpana Marjanam Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam Shreya Kairaiva Chandrika Vitaranam Vidya Varu Jivanam Nandam Buri Vardhanam Pratipadam Purnam Ritas Vardhanam Sarvatma Snapanam Param Ite Sri Krishna Sankirtanam Nam nam akari bahuda nija sarva shaktis tatarpita nimatasmarane nakala etajasi tava kripa bhagavan mamapi durdaivam iddisam vihajinu nanuraj chenarapi sunichena tororapi sahishnana Amanina madhanena kirtaniya sadahari nadanam najanam nasundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhaktir ahoitakit ayi nanda tanuja kinkaram Patitam mam vishamam bhuvam budhau Kripaya tava pada pankaja Stuta duli sajisham vichintaya Nayanam galarasa daraya Vadanam gagadaya rudaya gira Pulaka nichitam vapukada Tava nama grahane bhavishyati Yugayitam nameshena Chakshusha pravashayatam Sunyayatam jagatsarvam Govinda virahenamin Ashlishyava pararatam panastumam Adarshanam mamakaram Otihava Yatatatava vadadhatu lampato Mad prana natas te eva. Someone read the first one.
Glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life of repeated birth and death. This Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss. It enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious.
O my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benedictions to living beings, and thus you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govinda. In these transcendental names, you have invested all your transcendental energies. There are no hard and fast rules for chanting these names. O my Lord, out of kindness, you enable us to easily approach you by your holy names, but I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction for them.
One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw on the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige. One should be ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly.
Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor do I desire beautiful women, nor do I want any number of followers. I only want your process of emotional service, birth of the birth.
O son of Maharaj Nanda Krishna, I am your eternal servitor, yet somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet.
O my Lord, when will my eyes be decorated with tears of love flowing constantly when I chant your holy name? When will my voice choke up, and when will the hairs of my body stand on it at the recitation of your name?
O Govinda, feeling your separation, I am considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I am feeling all vacant in the world in your absence.
I know no one but Krishna as my Lord, and he shall remain so even if he handles me roughly by his embrace, or makes me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He is completely free to do anything and everything, for he is always my worshipful Lord unconditionally.
Very good. So, I think we're going to have some fun today. And I do thank everyone for coming very deeply. You can only speak as much to the level of the sincerity of the audience that they want to hear. So I'm just a medium. But you're pulling it out. That's the way it actually works. Of course, I do prepare. But I feel that way. It's the sincerity of the audience that allows someone to speak, and then something flows through. I think it's an interesting class because we're going to discuss a very interesting subject, the third verse of the Shikshastakam, which Lord Chaitanya himself said to raise your hands and declare it and put it around your neck. In fact, one of the great devotees that I know, and I had some good relationship with him, Kormarupa Prabhu, if you know the story of how he passed away, he got cancer and just accepted as Krishna's will and went to his cows in Vrindavan and just left his body with, you know, full confidence that this is Krishna. And he would wear that verse. He had it tattooed around his neck. He actually had it tattooed around his neck. Of course, he couldn't be buried in a Jewish graveyard, but there's... That's one of the rules, by the way. But, you know, he got something else out of that, so... And humility, you know, a lot we're going to talk about humility. And it's really interesting preparing these courses because then you kind of have to try to become what you're speaking about. So I had to chant extra sincerely today, this week, and pray very, very deeply. And it's interesting discussion because in discussing humility, of course, we have to have the distinction between low self-esteem and humility and other things. So some of these issues will also be discussed. So I think there can be a lot of time for discussion. Here's something that C.S. Lewis said. Very nice Christian, brilliant Christian apologist. We are never so proud as when we are good. In Madhurya Kadambini, I may teach that next year. I like to teach one shastra every year. The sixth cause of anishtita bhakti, when your bhakti is not fixed, is bhakti itself, because then you get followers, then you get praise, then you become good, then you become proud. Never are we so proud as when we are good. So it means that your humility has to be something very, very deep. The humility that's talked about in the third verse of the Shikshastakam is not just some mental conception. It's a realization deep in the heart by chanting the holy name and realizing the glories of the holy name and realizing truly what our own position is in relationship to the holy name, which is not very significant. So we should also discuss how that doesn't lead to low self-esteem. Our utter insignificance, dānya, is utter humility. In fact, it becomes very confusing sometimes because we have the verses from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. What is that? Amara Jivana, if I wish I can find that. I may find it, I may not, but if I don't, I'll continue anyway. Yeah, oh, I don't have the verse itself, but it's very moving, you know, how low they feel, etc. But it's really coming from the heart. There's the heart and there's the head. Just like they say in Uttama Adhikari, one who stays on the level of the highest realization, he can't preach. Because he sees everyone is serving Krishna better than him. The consciousness of what the holy name is, the consciousness of what Krishna is, and facing that, it makes one feel very, very insignificant. But there's the head and the heart, and you can go between the two. They say the Uttama Adhikari has to come to the level of Madhyam to preach. So you can see that in ourselves. We have certain feelings, but we have to communicate, we have to preach, we have to be realistic. We have to make these distinctions that this person actually needs my compassion. This person I need to neglect. This person I need to worship. This person I need to make friends with. So, but the basic mood of a Vaishnava is just seeing from the heart, deeply. And everyone is serving Krishna better than me. You can see through your emotions and you can see through your head. And each has an appropriate... So it's very, very interesting, this humility. And we're going to see it in these verses. Now, here's a little exercise just to get everybody thinking about this. And then we're going to analyze this verse. We're also going to give, before we do this, a little summary of what we discussed, just to put the Shikshastakam in context. Here's an exercise. What do you want others to believe about you? What do you do to get them to believe it? Why do you do this? And why is it important for you to have that conception that you're trying to project? So you can see that humility is a very, very deep, deep internal thing. And bhakti is based on it. Sanatana Goswami says in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita that humility is almost prema. And later he confirms that actually they're the same. Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Jivadharma also makes this claim, that there's a certain feeling and conception of the heart that's expressed in this verse that attracts such deep, it attracts and allows you to feel such deep mercy that the highest love wells in your heart. I give the example of a child who is spoiled. They never feel any love because no matter how much they get, because of this self-conception, it's never enough. And then a child's very humble. You know, they may just get a little pat, a little recognition, and they feel so much love. That's the essence of this verse. That's why Kirtaniya Sada Hari. Kirtaniya Sada Hari. Kirtaniya Sada Hari. I'll tell a story about that, then I'll tell what I was going to tell about that. There was one of Prabhupada's godbrothers named Bhakti Bhai Bhav Puri Maharaj, the younger Puri Maharaj. And how old the younger Puri Maharaj was?
He's 93.
The older Puri Maharaj was 101. You're becoming like Gail. You listen to all my classes. I can't give any new lines anymore. I have to come. So, the younger Puri Maharaj, and probably one of the godbrothers that most appreciated Prabhupada because he was such an aggressive preacher. And I went to see him at Sevakunj one morning. He had a temple that overlooked the where Krishna had the Rasleela. I remember he just finished his bhajan. And when I walked in, he said, Kirtaniya Sadahari, Kirtaniya, with some real realization. Always chant the name. Always chant the name. And why can you always chant the name? Because you're feeling mercy. And mercy is love. When you're humble, you feel mercy, and mercy is love. And when you feel love, then you can have love, right? A child grows up, they have a loving relationship with their mother, then they're loving. And sometimes if that's neglected, then there's a little difficulty. So it's the same thing with God. When we feel our loving relationship with God, when we feel the mercy that is there, when we extract it because we actually are humble, then we have love. And love is expressed in kirtan. And you never become tired of love because you're not loving to get something. Jnana, no fun. Austerities. Moksha is the goal. That's fun. Karma, swaha, swaha, boring. I remember we were in Colombia, that's my Spanish. When we were in Colombia, I'm practicing now actually, not just that, but I'm actually got Rosetta Stone and I'm trying to study, it's hopeless. But when I went to Colombia, we opened our new guest house and we had this really wonderful young man who was trained for 10 years in the Mayapur Gurukul, who was really doing the real worship in the authentic way. And it was driving me crazy. When's it going to be finished? Come on. Let's go and spray the water in the new house and get this over with. The swaha, swaha, swaha. I think everyone in New York has a little bit of attention deficit disorder. It's a disease where you can't concentrate. Attention deficit disorder. So I just like, I can't focus on this. But it's for some goal. The process is not the fun, it's the goal. The benefit you get. But bhakti is love. Love has no goal. Sasukam kartam avyam. It's pleasurable in itself. So you can always chant if you're humble, because you'll feel something. You'll feel the holy name, and you'll feel for the holy name. And then you'll want to chant all the time. It's no joke. You'll want to chant all the time. Right? We told the story last week where Lord Chaitanya was going to the fields to go to the bathroom. And he was holding his tongue because he couldn't stop chanting. Right? And then that young boy, Gopal, came and said, why are you holding your tongue? What if you die? How will you chant at the time of death? He said, that's right. There's no hard and fast rules. You are guru. You are Gopal guru. And then he grew up to be one of the great acharyas, Gopal guru. So, anyway, a little summary, and I don't want to spend too much on the summary because we do want to get to the verse, but we know that the Shikshastakam is in the last chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's described as the culmination of Lord Chaitanya's mission of tasting and distributing love of Godhead through the holy name. And in that ecstasy of tasting and distributing the holy name, he began to chant verses, and he chanted the verse in the 11th canto by Karbhajana Muni, which actually had predicted his own appearance, but he doesn't feel that way because he's humble. So he says, Krishna Varnam Twisha Krishna Sangha Pangastu. You know verses, great. Yagyai Sankirtana Prayer. Wonderful, thank you. Go over the frame, yes. It's Krishna appears chanting his names, and this is for people who are intelligent, they do this. And as he does that, he begins from his heart to glorify the holy name. And that's the last thing we know in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Shikshastakam prayers. They summarize the tasting and distributing the holy name. And they're connected. You know, it can go either way. You distribute the holy name and you get a taste for the holy name. Or you get a taste for the holy name and you distribute the holy name. Prabhupada's more with the tasting and distributing. Actually, when you achieve perfection, then, and you develop, the holy name gives you love of Godhead, and when you have love of Godhead, you glorify God, and it comes from your heart as that. So, he chants the Shikshastakam, and we discussed before that, especially in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's analysis, but it's very, very, it's very, very evident from the verses that they have a progression in levels of faith. Faith is conviction based on experience. Faith is trust based on evidence. It's not blind faith. And what is that evidence? That evidence is the conviction and the pleasure you're getting from the holy name. It gives you more conviction that this is the goal and this is the means. And the more conviction you have, the more you dedicate yourself to something. Until the conviction becomes so deep. Pratipunamritas vardhanam. That at every step, it's nectar. You're completely absorbed. So there's a level of progression, and the Shikshastakam verses clearly present the stages of bhakti. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained. The stages of bhakti. And the first verse, as we describe, although I want to make a little bit correction, based on a discussion I had with Satyaraj Prabhu. I was relating the seven glories of the holy name as explained in the first verse. I was relating them to the verses of the Shikshastakam itself. I said that was from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's not from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Contemporary people have given that analysis. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur's analysis is that each verse expresses different levels of faith in the holy name by chanting the holy name. And that each couplet of the Hare Krishna mantra can be related to a verse in the Shikshastakam, which also expresses a different meditation on Krishna's pastimes in the different times. We were missing you. Great, you're here. Good, Sudevi, come. Okay, everyone please come. Okay, good. You can all make yourself comfortable however you want. There's more chairs here too. Or, are you all comfortable? We're going to just go get some more cushions from the next room, okay? All the way from Pennsylvania. All the way from New Jersey. But where are the people from New York? You're from the Bronx. No, they leave them there, just get more. Okay. So, but there's also an obvious progression in the different sections of the first verse of the Shikshastakam also. Right? Cheto darpanam marjanam, the heart becoming cleansed, bhava maha devagni nirvapanam, extinguishing the fire of material existence, which is kind of like anartana vritti. Shreya Kairaiva Chandikar, auspiciousness comes from your heart. It's when you're really getting taste. What is the auspiciousness? It's that conviction. And going on, Sarvatma Snapanam, completely bathed. The last verse is completely bathed in the holy name of Krishna, which seems to be a high stage of prema bhakti. So the first verse, obviously it presents faith, conviction. Faith is based on knowledge. At least preliminary faith is based on knowledge. Deeper faith is based on experience. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matasarvam pavartate iti bhutva bhajantimam buddha bhavasamavya. I am the source of the material and spiritual worlds. The wise engage in my devotional service. Buddha bhava. Knowledge and then conviction and experience. But then the next verse is Dadami buddhi yogam tesham satatayuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam twami yenamam. One who worships me with faith and devotion, I give them the knowledge. So the faith increases. So that's the first verse of the Shikshastakam. And then as that faith increases, then humility increases. Because when you realize the glory of God or Krishna in his name, and your heart becomes cleansed, when your heart becomes cleansed, you think less of yourself in a healthy way. what they say, you don't think yourself less, you think less of yourself.
You think about yourself less.
You think about yourself less. But the main point is, when the heart becomes cleansed, you're in a healthy way. We're going to discuss this. It's clearer to see your own weaknesses. And I think when you actually practice spiritual life, it works. when you're not having that experience, you're left just with your own ego and the process of rationalization, which justifies all mistakes and protects your ego and that whole conception. But when there's legitimate purity in the heart, then there's some natural lamentation. There's some natural lamentation. For example, let me... here's what Prabhupada says. At the highest level of prema bhakti, when Rivettinandana said, "You must be higher than the Paramahamsa stage, Prabhupada," Srila Prabhupada replied, "No, I am lower than you. I am the lowest of all the creatures. I am simply trying to execute the order of my spiritual master." That's from a conversation after a Bhagavatam class in 1970, in December, 6 months after I met the devotees. Prabhupada says, "On behalf of Krishna, I am accepting your sincere service. But on the whole, I am the servant of Krishna. Therefore, I may be in designation your spiritual master, but actually I am the servant of Krishna. And because you are all servants of Krishna, I am your servant." A letter in 1968. One time, this was in Japan, there was a big seat. And Prabhupada was going to speak, and then this Mayavadi, who was kind of insulting philosophy to Krishna. So Prabhupada got up there and spoke first, and then this Mayavadi came, and Prabhupada wouldn't get off the seat. That's humility, actually. Because what are people going to think? But he wanted it. But... So then the Mayavadi started to speak what's called Panchaposhana philosophy, where it kind of Mayavadi that God is an illusion and things, and anyway, it was another time in Japan, not this one, so I'll go to there. And Prabhupada somehow spoke very, very strongly Nirvishesha Sunyavadi, against impersonalism and voidism. He spoke very... So in the evening, his disciple, Trivikram Swami, who took sannyas in 1970, when I visited the temple, he's still a devotee, incredible soul, very attached to the holy name. And kind of what you see is what you get, man. I like those people. What you see is what you get. So he was massaging Prabhupada, and he was so proud that Prabhupada had defeated this Mayavadi. I heard him tell this story, that he had this vision. He had this vision that Prabhupada was like the heavyweight champion of the world, and he was in the corner like massaging him after he knocked out someone. And then Prabhupada, then he said, he just blurted it out. He said, "Prabhupada, you're the greatest." And Prabhupada looked at him with conviction. He said, "No, I'm just a servant." One time, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was so excited. He said, "Prabhupada, you should be the king of the world." Prabhupada said, "You manage, I'll advise." So, this lamentation comes from this glories, understanding the glories of the holy name, and then applying them in your life, purifying your heart, it comes. And then you begin to reflect on those glories. Nam nam akari bahuda nijasarva shakti. God has many names. He's so merciful. Because we have so many desires and so many conceptions and so many different tastes and so many different proclivities that Krishna comes. Krishna comes according to our tastes. He has different names because we're attracted to different relationships with Krishna. We're attracted to different manifestations with Krishna. So he's so kind. He comes in so many ways. Nijasarva Shaktis. And they have all potencies are all in those names. Durdaivam, Indrasam. And there's no hard and fast rules for chanting them. I just had that, 1 second. Oh. To keep the mode of goodness, I'm going to straight things and keep it. And he's so kind. Tatarpita nimatasmarnenaka. For remembering or chanting, there's no hard and fast rules. How kind. It's not like that for gyan. It's not like that for karma. Karma has so many rituals, so many rules. It's not like no hard and fast rules. You're going to the bathroom. You're so dirty. Sing in the shower. In any condition, there's no hard and fast. Itadrasi tava kripa bhagavam, but you are so merciful to me. You are so merciful to me. Durdaivam, that you've come with this name, but Durdaivam, I have bad karma. I'm unfortunate. Because ihajani, for me is born nanuraga. I don't have attraction. I don't have attraction. So the humility is deepening. And with the humility, the experience is deepening. When you say, I have attraction, I am qualified, there's no feeling. When you say, I'm not qualified, you get some feeling. And I told that story that Prabhupada's godbrother, Bhakti Rakshaka Sridharmarji, is watching Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he saw his two brahmacharis, they raised their hand, you know, we've been here for 10 years, we have no taste. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, that's good. And he was thoughtful. What does it mean? That's good. What is that? And he said, ah, because that's better. Honesty and humility. They've been in the material world since time immemorial in 10 years. They want fireworks to go off. They're humble. And that humility will attract the holy name. But Durdaivam, I'm unfortunate. And why am I unfortunate? The reason I'm unfortunate is because I have anarthas. I have things that are unwanted to the development of my devotion. I have them in my heart. I have them in my behavior. And therefore, the sun of the holy name is covered by the, not the sun, is my eyes are covered by the cloud of ignorance from the brilliant sun of the holy name. and especially offenses. And that's where we left off in yesterday's class. And there are 10 offenses to the holy name. And I wanted to just say a few things about a few of the offenses. Of course, the most serious of the offenses, well, they're all serious, but I know where it is. 1 second. Yeah, okay. The most serious or is sadhu ninda. Ninda means to criticize. To criticize the devotees. It's described as the mad elephant offense. Priya, you know why it's the mad elephant offense? Because when you'll find this interesting, when you're making a garden, right, you can put a little fence around to protect it. But that doesn't do any good when a mad elephant comes. So the same thing, with, you know, we can do so many things to protect our kripa of devotion, but if we criticize the Vaishnava, it's so serious. So serious. I remember one instance. Anyway, I'll tell it anyway. Anyway, I'm gonna. This is Dragnet. It's an old show. You change the names to protect the innocent. So I'm gonna change. But anyway, I was in one temple, and there was a kind of a sectarian kind of institutional divide. And I was in that temple, and somehow or other, they were making fun, like imitating this old venerable Vaishnava. Off the, you know, and I mean, I could almost feel the thunder. I walked out. And later, dacoits attacked that temple and took the deity. And it's almost like Krishna left. Dacoits are like Russian mafia. Is that what you want, dacoits? Okay. She's become so proficient now with her university education, always revising her English now. Okay, good. You don't like to hear that. That's a good sign. And now she's praised for that makes it even worse. But I'll tell another story. Then there was another story. Okay. Where a deity was taken because the person was offensive. And then someone said he'd rather be with the police than that devotee. No, what happened is the police then captured it, captured the crook, and the deity's with them. They said he'd rather be with the police than that devotee. You know, Vaishnava aparad. You can't say offending devotees, speaking bad about devotees. And even if criticism is justified, even if the person has so many faults. Of course, to the level of someone's consciousness is the level that Krishna is manifest in their heart. It's to the level that we have to be careful. But we're careful. So sadhu ninda. And then the second one, to think of demigods as equal or independent. Independent means they are manifestations of Krishna. Respect them. Like when I first came to India, I was a Krishna bhakta. I didn't know what I was doing. I would walk by like a Shiva temple and a Durga temple and think that this is the enemy. Really? Yeah, competition, you know, Maya. You know, we didn't know, you know. But they warn you. Respect. Respect Durga. Respect Shiva. But the other offenses think that they're equal. That's another offense. Then Guru Avagya, it means to disrespect the Guru. And Vaishnavas in general, it's not just one who's initiating. Guru is a very broad term. Acharya mam vijanayam nava manyet dakariche. Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, accept the Guru as my very self. Nava manyet dakariche, 5,000 years. Do not envy him in any way. It's very easy to envy authority, because authority challenges our illicit desires. Authority challenges our desires for control and enjoyment. We don't like authority. But it says, Acharya mam vijanayam, respect. And anyone who's representing Krishna, especially the spirit, the Siksha Guru, the Diksha Gurus, and also understand that there's an inspired side and there's ordinary dealings. Guru means the inspired side. Otherwise, people are born in different things, have different tastes, different personalities, etc. But the inspired side. And I saw this myself, another practical example, when this great Vaishnava disappeared, and I went to his disappearance, but there was some contention between him and ISKCON. But the function for him was in ISKCON. He passed away, and we had it in ISKCON. And I made that point, the inspired side. Don't see, you know, sometimes there's different conflicts and things that go on. The inspired side, how much Krishna was flowing through this person, how many people he was actually inspiring and helping. You know, and some kind of conflicts, and, you know. And to blaspheme the scriptures, jnana and karma are merciful to those that are attached to it. So, it's not just the bhakti scriptures, certainly, but any of the Vedic literatures has to be respected. You know, and in India, they worship the book before they give class. They have a worship for the book. It'd be a nice system, you know. They do the puja to the book. Consider the glories of the holy name an exaggeration. Not an exaggeration, only a drop. We can't imagine the glories of the holy name. And to think that it's only to create faith that these glories are given, no. And to give an interpretation that it's some mechanical thing, the syllables are this, the sound vibration is this, it goes to this chakra and this, you know, the God gene in your brain gets... To commit sin on the strength of chanting, you know, when you're chanting, it's so powerful, you hear all these glories, and then you think, oh, if I do this or I do that, it's not so bad, I'm chanting. And what that does is it's like blowing your nose with a deity cloth. The deity cloth is not for your nose. The deity cloth is to bathe in, and we're, you know, so the holy name is not for your sense gratification. The holy name is to give Krishna pleasure. So to use the holy name in terms of your own sense gratification, that's the worst thing. And to consider it fruit of activities, to, you know, karma kanda, okay, to advise the faithless. We have to make sure the intimate glories, the glories, you can preach to the level that someone doesn't become antagonistic and offensive. Otherwise, you're putting the holy name there for them to offend. And it's Nam Prabhu. Nam Prabhu, it's a person. And to maintain some material attachment, what does that mean? It means when you're chanting and advancing in Krishna consciousness, we do have attachments. We can't give them all up. The Bhagavatam, it says, Kamesyanendriya Pritir Labho Jivete Yavata. Kamesyanendriya Pritir means that bhakti, dharma, is not for the pleasure of the senses, it's to make yourself peaceful. The enjoyment is to make yourself peaceful to realize God. Bhurijan Prabhu says it really nicely. You don't live to enjoy, you enjoy to live. So we have attachments. So I think what this means is to take more consciously. To take more than you're actually allotted and need consciously. So that's the 10th offense. Okay, now we'll go to this verse. And I'm going to read from the Shikshastakam as we've been doing. And I can't speak enough about I got to shut this off, I guess, and reboot it or whatever it is. I can't speak enough about the value of reading and hearing Srila Prabhupada's books. So I think it's very fortunate that I'll be able to do this in the class if I get the mercy of this. But I'll go on. And it's mentioned in three places, this verse. And in all three places, it's mentioned extremely significantly. So the second place that it's mentioned... What? You know, it may help me even more than... Yeah, it would help me, actually. Yeah. Okay. Wow, how easy it is, right? Look. Woo.
What's that?
It doesn't help me, actually, because it's another book. But I'll keep this for the book that I will be using it on. Okay, now. So I'll explain the second time it's used. Raghunath Das Goswami is considered the Prayojan Acharya. Why can't I figure this out? Did I? What? Okay. That's right. A little glitch. Now let's hope the next part works. I can't get it. It says press home to unlock. And it, oh, wait, it may have unlocked now. No, it doesn't unlock. See it? It says press home, right? That's... Well, it works for you. Okay, you're still all with me?
Yes.
Wow, I have so much to go in such a short time, but I'm going to... But that's good that we started on time and we really got into it and time flies. You know, it's already more than half over the class. It's only... 45 minutes left. So I definitely want to get to that verse. There's so many important things. That's Anchalila. That's not what I want. Well, it's just giving me so... Okay. Okay, we're going to get it now. Okay? So, what happens is, this is a part of Adi Lila where Lord Chaitanya reveals who he is. We know he has his Mahaprakash. He's come as a devotee and then he manifests as God and he's giving a lot of mercy. So there's one devotee that offered him some rice, Shuklambar, Brahmachar, I believe, and he's especially mercy. And from his heart, he starts to glorify the holy name. Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kolo Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva. There's no other way, there's no other way, there's no other way but the holy name. And he says, that Lord Chaitanya says, I'm repeating it three times because there's nothing else that one who accepts any other path cannot be delivered. It's only the holy name. Kevala means only. Eva means only. Only that. Not Gyan. Not yoga. Not tapasya. Not karma. Nothing else. You should chant the holy name. And then he says, to chant the holy name always, one should be humbler than the grass in the street and devoid of all desire for personal honor, but one should offer others all respectful obeisances. Then he says, a devotee engaged in chanting the holy name of the Lord should practice forbearance like that of a tree. Even if rebuked or chastised, he should not say anything to others to retaliate. For even if one cuts a tree, it never protests. And even if it is drying up and dying, it does not ask for water. Thus, a Vaishnava should not ask anything from anyone else. If someone gives him something without being asked, he should accept it. But if nothing comes, a Vaishnava should be satisfied to eat whatever vegetables and fruits are easily available. One should strictly follow the principles of always chanting the holy name, and one should be satisfied with whatever he gets easily. Such devotional behavior solidly maintains one's devotional service. Tanara pi sanichena, tarara pi sahishnana, amanina madanena, kirtaniya sadahari. One should think himself lower than the grass, more tolerant than a tree, does not expect honor, yet is always prepared to give all respects to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. Raising my hands, I declare, everyone, please hear me. String this verse on the thread of the holy name and wear it on your neck for continuous remembrance. So that is significant. He's announcing it to the world. So, you know, this is one of the classes. It could really go on a long time. But I'm just going to get to the point of different things. And then the second time it's mentioned is in the Anchalila. It's mentioned, and it's very interesting, because Raghunath Das Goswami has left home, renounced everything. Lord Chaitanya gives him to Sarup Damodar, his confidential associate, to train him in Krishna consciousness. Sarup Damodar comes to Lord Chaitanya and says, well, Raghunath Das has some questions. He says, I've already put him under you. You can instruct him in the sadhana, sadhya, tattva. You can instruct him in the truth about the practice and the goal. You can instruct him. But if he wants some instruction from me, then I'll give something, which is also not in this. No. The chapter we were studying, the Shikshastika prayers, was in that. So let me get that quickly, and then okay, it'll come quickly now. I'm right there. Boom. Okay, so he said, you can learn from him what your duty is and how to discharge it. I do not know as much as he. How humble Lord Chaitanya is. He said, speak to Sri Damodar. Nevertheless, if you want to take instructions from me with faith and love, you may ascertain your duties from the following words. Do not talk like people in general or hear what they have to say. You should not eat very palatable food, nor should you dress nicely. I got that last one down. Not dressing nicely. I only wear the silks. Yeah. I only wear the silks for the program here. Otherwise, as my mother says, you won't understand the word, why are you wearing those shmatas? Shmatas is a Yiddish term for clothes that look like rags. So I got that down. Do not expect honor, but offer all respects to others. Always chant the holy name of Krishna, and within your mind, render service to Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. I have briefly given you my instructions. Now you will get all details from them from Sarup Damodar. And then Lord Chaitanya looks at Raghunath Das Goswami and says, Trinadapi Sanichena, Tororapi Sahishnana, Amanina, Madhanena, Kirtaniya Siddhahari, Kirtaniya Siddhahari. And why is this significant? Because Raghunath Das Goswami is the Prayojana Acharya. Prayojana, there's three aspects of philosophy. Prayojana is the goal. The goal is prema or priti or love of Godhead. Raghunath Das Goswami in his poems and like Valap Kushmanjali, a bouquet of lamentations. He showed what is the path. He showed what is the path of devotion. So he, to him, he sums up the verse as the essence for, he's the progena. How to get prem, and what's his instruction? This is how you get prem. This fourfold instructions: humility, tolerance, respect, constant chanting. Humility, respect, tolerance, constant chanting. Or to sum it up, humility and chanting, because it's all humility. That's the humble mind. The humble mind is thinking yourself lower than the store in the street, being more tolerant, not expecting respect, giving all respect to others. In such a state of mind, you should chant the holy name constantly. I'll tell one story. This is about 25 years ago. Somehow, I saw this envy in my heart for someone. And usually, what envy is everyone creates their own world. You know, you have a brahmachari world, a sannyas world, the disciple world, the manager world, the business world, the talk. So you create your own little world where you try to be supreme. You don't try to be supreme of everything. So in my own little world, somehow I felt this. And I felt bad about it. I was in Puri. And in between each, and I was chanting a lot. It was one of those times where I was chanting a lot. I had nothing else to do. Absolutely nothing else to do but chant. Somehow, that's what Krishna said. There's nothing else you have to do now but chant. So I was chanting. I was chanting. And as I was chanting, in between each round, and there were many, many rounds, I would chant that verse. And when I would say, offer all respects to others, I would offer it to this person. I would offer it to this person and offer all respects to others. And I thought of him. So, so this is the process. This is the process. And this is what Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur made sure that the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back to in its focus. As people were artificially thinking that things that were a product of the holy name at the highest level of chanting were the practice to get prema, which means meditation on the Astaka Lila Smaran, which is a process of chanting the holy name. Because when you chant the holy name, then eventually the form of the holy name manifests, the qualities of the holy name manifest, and the activities. So it's a sadhana kram. It's a step-by-step process. And at a very high level, the name will manifest the pastimes and your spiritual identity within those pastimes. It's not the practice. It's the advanced level. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta brought it back to this. And he went to Radha Kund. And he annoyed the people to no end. Because when they were speaking on very, very high subjects, I think he was speaking on the first three verses of Upadeshamrita or something. And then they came to him, they challenged him. He said, you don't have a Siddha mantra. Because in their initiation, they get initiation into their Ekadas Bhav, which is a legitimate process in advanced stage. I mean, there are 11 characteristics. What is your spiritual identity? Who is your mother and father in the spiritual world? What's the color of your dress? What, you know, so many different, what is the service you do? There's 11 things. They said, what is your Siddha mantra? You don't have a Siddha mantra. He says, I have a Siddha mantra. They said, what's your Siddha mantra? Chanarapi sanichena, tororapi sahishnana, amanina madanena, kirtaniya sadahari, kirtaniya sadahari, kirtaniya sadahari. So, then finally, it's mentioned in the third verse of the Shikshastakam, which Tiffany brought me the book, thank you. it's right there. In the 20th chapter, which is the Shikshastakam. And and then Lord Chaitanya says, and look at the preamble or preface to this verse. Lord Chaitanya tells Srup Damodar and Ramananda Roy, hear from me the symptoms of how one should chant the Hare Krishna mantra to awaken very easily one's dormant love for Krishna. So hear from me how to awaken it. And then he says, Chanada pi sanichena, torora pi sahishnana, amanina madanena, kirtaniya sadahari, kirtaniya sadahari, kirtaniya sadahari. These are the symptoms of one who chants the Hare Krishna mantra. Although he is very exalted, he thinks himself lower than the grass on the ground, and like a tree, he tolerates everything in two ways. And then he explains. Although a Vaishnava is the most exalted person, he's prideless and gives all respect to everyone, knowing everyone to be the resting place of Krishna. If one chants the holy name of Krishna in this manner, he will certainly awaken his dormant love. This is the process. We have to chant the holy name. We have to become attached to the holy name. This is it. I remember this one class that Jayadvaita Swami gave in Mayapur. Jayadvaita Swami is really one of my heroes because he's a detached Brahmin. And more than anyone else, he speaks the truth no matter what the circumstances is. And single-handedly, he saved the Hare Krishna movement many times, I believe. You know, where he stood for something that may not be popular or something and spoke. And one of the recent things is with the Radha Govinda Mandir and selling the temple. He's the one that spoke up. So one time he was in Mayapur and he was upset about something because when things are not, when there's dishonesty, he can't tolerate it. So they asked him to give class. So he chanted Jaya Radha Madhava. And then after he chanted Jaya Radha Madhava, he quoted from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Urundaya Kirtan, and he said, "This temporary material world is full of suffering. Chant the holy name of Krishna as your only business." Finish the class. He said it all. "This temporary material world is full of suffering. Chant the holy name of Krishna as your only business." Can't stress it enough. I wrote an article, 65 is the new 50. Because I feel I'm finally getting serious and you know, chanting and more chanting. And getting a taste for chanting. Then, so this is how we chant in praying. But what's the problem? The previous verse. I'm unfortunate. I commit offenses. Bhakti is easy. Avoiding offenses, that's what's difficult. And the offenses block our attraction. So the connection between that verse and so he says, Dridhaivam, Idrisam, Ihajani, I don't have attraction because of offenses. So this is the verse that clears the offenses. Humility protects us from offense as the eyes, the eyelids protect the eyes from offense of dust and so many things. The eyelids protect the eyes. In other ways, water comes out when things are in there. So this is the thing. This is from the CC. One should build a strong wall of humility and protect one's vine of devotion by giving honor to others around it, sprinkling the vine with the waters of hearing and chanting. So this is the verse. That's why he said wear it around your neck, because it protects you from offense. That honoring others. Not seeing their faults. In one commentary I wrote, the author told this story of this very learned Brahmin from Calcutta, and he came to Navadvipa, or somebody came to Vrindavan, and he wanted to get initiated, and he came to this great guru, and the guru said, "I'll initiate you If you see someone who's inferior to you in all ways, that's not a problem. I'm, you know, God's gift to the world. So he went, and then in every person he saw something which that person was better than him. You know, then he went to animals. He saw something. He said, "I," and by that, then finally he passed stool. You know, and then he said, then he thought, okay. He said, find a person or an object. He said, well, if I, okay, this is it. This is lower than me. Then he thought, wait a second. You know, this was beautiful facade. I turned it into this. What a rascal. And then he saw a worm come out. He said, ah, yes. Now there's something that's inferior to me in all ways. Then he saw the worm and he said, but wait, the worm, by eating that, will turn it into earth again. And it'll transform it. I made that. The earth will make it good. The worm will make it good again. So this is it. Now, this verse will discuss the limit of humility. And this is a famous saying in Bengal. When I heard about the Prem Dharma of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I wanted to become his follower. So easy, chant the holy name. I wanted to become his followers. Get Prema Bhakti. I wanted to get his followers. But when I heard the third verse of the Shishastakam, I knew it was impossible. So, okay, a little something about humility I want to say, and then we'll analyze the verse, and I think we're doing pretty good. Really, what is humility, and how is it different from lack of self-esteem? And I was meditating on that, and then this morning, when I came here, I went into the room, and then I paid my base, and then I looked at Prabhupada. And I looked at Prabhupada, and I looked at Prabhupada, and I said, this is scary. Because he's my authority. And he has expectations for me. He has expectations for me. To give up some of the things I'm feeling, giving up some of the things I'm doing. And they're so hard. And especially this. He has expectations of me. To, you know, to be humble. To not expect honor. To give respect to all others. And I was looking and I was saying, wow. This is not easy. And then I realized, that's the essence of humility. The essence of humility is to accept as an authority greater than your own desires. And humility is when that personal authority comes up in your heart, that I am independent and I have right. Humility means not to like that. I think that, more than anything, is the essence of humility. And the difference between humility and a lack of self-esteem, I wrote something about that, and I'd like to read it, because I gave one. I gave one lecture called The Power and Culture of Humility. And I want to read something that I wrote. I think there's two things I wrote on that. Okay, I wrote, low self-esteem is grief about not being great, although wanting to. Low self-esteem is you feel bad about not being great, although you want to. And humility is happiness about not being great and not wanting to be great. So both are considering this something much better than me, but low self-esteem is that's your goal, and therefore you feel so bad about it. But in humility, you know that there's something greater than you, but you're happy with that because you love that which is greater than you. And the analogy I gave is a child in a mother's arms. When the child is in the mother's arms, she's accepting an authority, a shelter, complete. This is my maintainer. This is my protector. This is everything. And they're happy. So I said humility is happy small. So it doesn't create a psychological aberration. The child never looks at the mother and says, you know, let go of me. Who do you think you are? The child is happy, happy in the arms of the mother. So I think it's something like that, the happiness with authority. And then when you have that, there may be natural feelings of the heart of the greatness of God and your own insignificance, but it's not a psychological thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's the feelings of your soul manifest. So even though it appears the same, you know, even though it appears the same, it's not the same because they're coming from different places. One is coming from the psychology, the other is coming from the natural place of the heart. And the expressions of humility that sound like, you know, I'm lower than the worm in the stool and there's no man most fallen than me. That's coming from a very advanced stage. That's not even our humility, which is a healthy maybe understanding. That's a realized position of love in the soul for God. And then all your emotions come out in relationship to that. So, and here's another thing. I define pride, low self-esteem, and humble. Pride. You're not great, but you want to be great. And thus psychologically disintegrated. Low self-esteem. Oh, wait, pride. You're not great. You want to be great, but you think you're great. And thus psychologically disintegrated. Low self-esteem. You're not great. You want to be great, but you don't think you're great, and thus psychologically disintegrated. And humble, not great, don't want to be great, don't think oneself great, and thus psychologically integrated. Here. I'll give it to you after. What?
Can you repeat that one more time?
Humble? You're not great, you don't want to be great, you don't think of yourself great, and thus psychologically integrated. It's not a big thing. Yes.
But isn't he great by the fact that he's humble?
What's that?
So he's great, but he doesn't think he's great.
Right.
He said he's not great, but if he's humble, he's great.
Right. Okay. No, but he's not great in that sense of grandeur and power and things like that. Of course, I'm talking about in terms of Aishwarya, not Madhurya. Yeah.
Of
the what?
Low self-esteem.
Okay. I say low self-esteem. We're not great. That means constitutionally none of them are great. We're insignificant. That's the fact. Then in low self-esteem, but you want to be great.
Yeah.
And but you don't think yourself great.
But it wouldn't be so much difference than false ego.
What?
False ego.
you are rid of the false ego, then...
I can't understand.
It wouldn't be the same thing that false ego.
No, what I'm saying is someone with false ego can be proud. And someone with false ego could have low self-esteem. Now, I it's beyond the class. We can get into psychological understandings that they both actually have low self-esteem. It's a fact. Okay. I'm always trying to find my notes. Okay. Now, St. Augustine, he said... The most important practices to realize, the three most important practices to realize the self: humility, humility, humility. Okay, now I'm going to quickly, we discussed this, I'm going to quickly go over this verse. Trinadapi Sunichena. To be lower than the straw in the street. Why lower than the straw in the street? Because the straw in the street, you can build nice houses. You know, there's so many things you can do with straw. So he's thinking, that has use. I don't have any use. Again, this verse is already coming to the humility that's from the soul. Because the previous verse is, you know, I feel so bad, the previous verse, I feel so bad because I have attachments. This verse is, you've given up those attachments, and therefore you're actually feeling the soul. You're actually feeling the soul. You can feed cows with grass. There's so many things you can do with grass. But devotee thinks, he's on that platform of the heart, where he's actually seeing God and the grandeur of God and his comparative feelings of insignificant in relationship to that. And perhaps still having feet in the material world, you know, feeling that. And thinking, I'm walking on the grass and the grass bends. Right, but anybody steps on my toe, I complain. And it's really something that you actually have to see. Because we have so many bad experiences of exploitation in the modern world that we actually fear humility. And we look at it in ways that are... But I'm just going to tell... I told those examples of Prabhupada. I just want to tell two other stories of real humility that I've seen in India. And I told this story once. Priya, I was seeing the older Puri Maharaj, and he was 102. And you got to see what someone looks like when they're 102. And he's like bent over. And so I was visiting... I had met this sannyasi about 20 years ago in America, and he was a brahmachari, Mongoloid brahmachari, that Prabhupada in 1950 asked him to go to America with him. And then he asked his guru, Prabhupada's godbrother, and said, no, we need you for service here in the mission. So then, 30 years later, in 1980s or 1990s, he came to America. And he was very humble. He would sit in my classes and he really, I remember he looked at the way we worship Prabhupada every day, because traditionally in the Gaudiya Math, Guru Puja is once a year and Vyas Puja. He said, oh, look at the Guru worship here. It's very, very nice. Very, very nice. So he said, so then I was in India. He said, look, it's the appearance day of my Guru Maharaj. Can you please come? So I went to his mutt. It's the Gaudiya Math by the train station. That's what it's known as. And then he said, would you like to see the older Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj? You'd like to come see him? And I said, yeah, really, I'd like to come see him. Yeah, sure. So I went upstairs, and he's sitting in this room, and there's about 20 brahmacharis around him, and I'm just sitting. And then it's a fast day, and then some brahmachari comes in and says, it's time for the feast. All the devotees must come. All the devotees must come now. And there's a stampede. Because in Bengal, there's such good water because it's by the Ganga that the people there tend to eat more than any other place in India. Mm-hmm. You go to a feast with Bengalis, it's like you have like a big thing of rice like this. You put your fist in it. Then they pour the dal. So they just stampede it out. And I'm sitting here because I didn't understand. And then someone translated what it meant. Otherwise, I'd be stampeding out of the room too. But so the stampede is like horses, like. But Shampak, she told me that you used to like riding horses because on our Columbia place we have a horse. So her service is going to be taking care of the horse. And she has to ride it too. You know, you have to give a little. Yeah. You didn't know that. Okay. No. She told me already. I checked with her. She said her mother, when they were young, they trained her, so she knows this. So they were running outside. They were running outside. And then I looked up and I saw this 102-year-old man like trying to walk out. And then his assistant said, "Maharaj, what are you doing? You know they will bring the food up here to you." And then what he said, it just melted my heart. "When the Vaishnavas command, I must obey. When the Vaishnavas order, I must obey." That sense of authority. I know this other very elderly, he was very scholarly Vaishnava, and some of his disciples were my friends. He was known as the most learned Vaishnava in Vrindavan. And they said when he was old, they would take him to the doctor, and he was so submissive. It was just the culture of humility. When there is authority, there is knowledge and rule and so above me that I must follow. So even they were so impressed when he was with the doctor, how he was humbly following. And because that humility in the heart, it carries to any field where you find authority, especially the absolute authority, which is the supreme personality of Godhead and the Shastras and the gurus and the sadhus who represent that. And it's not something just artificially. Someone can be very, very bold and very, very humble. His nature may be very, very bold, but he surrendered to authority of guru. I think of Kastubha's guru, His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj. They used to call him TKG, and KG sounded like weight and T like tons. He was the heaviest person you could meet. TKG. He was so strong and heavy. But he was very humble in the sense the authority of Prabhupada, the authority of God brothers, you know. And I saw that too. So that would be a good example. And the other one is we tell the story of Dr. Fakir Mohan that he came to Govardhan. They say, "Oh, this great saint from you know, Bhuvaneshwar is coming here." And I went up. And then I was seeing him, and then he moved this way, and I moved this way, and he just moved. I said, "What is this, like a wrestling match? What's going on?" Like, he wouldn't allow, he wouldn't step on my shadow. And then when he gave class, we asked him to give class. I remember Indra Doom, the Swami was there, I was there, Keshava. I remember each sannyasi, he bowed down and grabbed their hands and said, "Bless me, I know nothing." His most learned scholar, "Bless me. Bless me, I know nothing." So And the other thing that's so good about humility, welcome. Nice to see you. Good. The other thing about humility that's so interesting, it says lower than the grass on the street, lower than. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur discusses this. What is this kirtan when you're doing kirtan in this mood, like grass? What is the mood of kirtan when you're doing it like grass? And he described, what does it mean? It's like when you have a lawn, right? There's many blades of grass, and it's very pleasant. It's a very nice effect to see all the blades of grass, right? But no grass says, look at me. So the mood is you're part of something greater than yourself that you contribute to. So it's the same thing in kirtan. There may be a great kirtan leader. There may be a great drummer. There may be, so many great musicians. But those who chant with humility, they're not doing it for themselves. They're doing it for the effect, for the offering. Not for the aggrandizement, not for the praise themselves, but what this offer pleases God and pleases the others that are here. And you see great kirtan leaders, it's not about them. And that's real kirtan. It's not about them. It's the same thing like a symphony orchestra. It doesn't mean you can't have great qualities, you can't have individuality, you can't make your contribution. But in a symphony orchestra, the person is not great who goes off on an individual rift. But they're following the conductor, they're following the offering, they're following the love. So that's when it says kirtan, lower than the straw on the street. And then, Turo Ivas Ishanat, one should be more tolerant than a tree. And the example of a tree, and it's all based on this core understanding of the soul, the core understanding of the purification of the soul, and that's your objective. You don't have that sense of entitlement. As Madhavananda Prabhu gave that wonderful class, the two things in community, one of them was empowerment, that one should see the qualities of others and try to bring them up, and the other is lack of entitlement, that you yourself don't think you have rights. That humility. So it says, so the tree, it's cut down. It still gives its wood. It still gives its fruits. It's cold. It's snowing. It tolerates everything. It gives shade. So this is the quality of the soul. And that humble soul that attracts mercy and feels love. And the example of Madhavendra Puri, he was just wandering in Govardhan. Whatever people would give him, he would humbly take. Not feeling in that need. The story of Haridas Thakur, who was the Nam Acharya. He was the teacher for the holy name. Although he was born in a Muslim family that was outcast. So even though he was so great, he couldn't go in the Jagannath temple. He was the Namacharya. And in his last life, he was Lord Brahma, who built the Jagannath temple. But he never said, I deserve. That mood is not in the heart. And then, when the Chan Kazi, the Muslim magistrate, found out that this Muslim was chanting the holy name and they made an example and they beat him in 22 marketplaces. And as they were beating him, he was saying, Krishna, be merciful on these people so they not offend you. They will not get, you know, what they're doing is so bad. Please be merciful on them. I feel sorry for them. Like Socrates. When Socrates was accused of misleading the youth, and he was sentenced to death. He spoke to the assembly of people there and he said, if you think you can harm me, you'll not harm me, you'll only harm yourself. Because what harms someone is their consciousness, not what happens to them, but what your consciousness is. So he was thinking, how he was feeling bad for these people because they were so misled that they were trying to harm him. So, and then, Amanina Madhanena, once you chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself more tolerant than the tree, lower than the straw in the street, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one could chant the holy name. So, not asking for respect, giving respect, seeing everyone as a temple of God. Even you go to temples in Vrindavan, they're in disrepair, etc. And still, they house God, and we honor them, we worship them. So someone, they may be forlorn, their situation may be difficult. So here's from the Uddhava Gita in the 11th canto. It says, disregarding the ridicule of one's companions, one should give up the bodily conception and its accompanying embarrassment. One should offer obeisances before all, even the dogs, outcasts, cows, and asses, falling flat upon the ground like a rod. Okay, I'm going to ask the learned assembly if I can have 10 more minutes. And if anybody has an appointment, they're willing to go. But I'm going to go 10, 15 more minutes maximum to finish. Okay? I have that permission. Okay. Purport. One should practice seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead within all creatures. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised all devotees to consider themselves lower than a blade of grass and to be more tolerant than a tree. In such a humble position, one will not be disturbed in the execution of his devotional service. Next verse. Until one has developed the ability to see me within all living beings, one must continue to worship me by this process with the activities of speech, mind, and body. So even if you don't see this, you should continue this practice. You may not see it, but do it. Purport. Until one fully realizes the Supreme Lord within all beings, he should continue the process of offering obeisances to all creatures. Although one may not be able to actually fall on the ground before all creatures, at least within his mind or by his words, one should offer respect to all living beings. This will accelerate the devotee's self-realization. In the Bhakti Sandarbha, it mentions one of the nine practices of devotional service is padasevana. It means serving the lotus feet. It means humble service. Because the feet is the lowest part. So when you honor the feet, you're saying, oh, so great that the lowest part of your body is above me. So the consciousness, when you pay obeisances, and again, I explain the difference between humility and a lack of self-esteem. When there's true humility, when you pay obeisances, you're saying, you are greater. I am less. And that's one's joy. I remember one sadhu I knew. He left to Govardhan. He was in Vrindavan. He left his ashram, and his guru was worshipped to him. And He had a very emotional experience because he kind of left his service. And he was bowing down to every devotee, every sacred thing, every deity, Govardhan Hill. You are more. I am less. That feeling is so nice. When you actually have humility and you're feeling that mercy in your heart, and you're like this, and you're happy small, because you're in the shelter of the divine, and you're feeling that love and dependence and shelter. And when you're like this, and someone says, Jai, you're the greatest, you're the greatest. No. He's the greatest. The whole story of Brihat Bhagavatamrita, when Narada Muni is looking for the greatest devotee, he sees the most exalted devotees, but every time he says, you're the greatest, they say, no, I'm not a devotee. He's the devotee. So, that's the thing. And I will finish up today with the last thing, Kirtaniya Sadahari. That means you can chant always. That means you're at Nishta. So remember, all the different verses were different levels. The first verse was Shraddha, faith, the glories of the holy name. And therefore you're chanting the holy name. Then the second verse was the by that chanting, then what happens? You start to seek the association of devotees and practice more seriously. And then when you practice more seriously, what happens? Bhava Mahadava, the material existence is extinguished. You begin to practice. You meet the sadhus, then you get bhajan. You practice, then the practice. Now what happens? Siddhahari, nishta. This verse is nishta. You become fixed. And you become fixed in two ways. One, in your activities and your qualities. In your qualities, how you become fixed? Always offering respect to others. You're fixed. Not accepting respect for yourself. You're fixed. Tolerance in a tree. You're fixed. And constant chanting. You're fixed. And knowing real life. Real values, then you give up that which is unwanted. Oh, okay. Let me see if I can end with one more good verse about humility, okay? And then I'll have a few minutes for questions, and then we can. This is by Tolstoy. I want to, you know, a little keep you alive in here. A little nationalistic spirit. Last week I quoted Dostoevsky. Okay? See a few little people from that country here. Okay? Every man wants to change the world, but no man wants to change himself. Write that down. That's good, right? I'll repeat again. Every man wants to change the world, but no man wants to change himself. And this is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. May we be ever ready to sweep away from our hearts by the rough application of hundreds of pointed broomsticks the wicked design of desiring to be honored above other persons by the devotees of God. God will be merciful to us, and we shall be blessed by the gift of devotion to his divine feet the very day that we are delivered from the evil desire of seeking advantages and honor from others. And if I can find one more, we will end it there. Okay, there'll be one more. I know where it is, and then we end. This is from Dhammapada, Buddhism. The fool who knows that he is a fool is for that reason a very wise man. The fool who thinks himself he is wise is a fool indeed. Okay. Are there any questions? Okay. Gail. Okay. Yes, Gail.
Well, I don't know if I get two, but one is Raghunath Das, he's the acharya for Kriya.
Yeah.
So is Rupa Adhideya or and
then Sanatan is Sambandha. Metaphysical knowledge. Rupa is Abhideya, the means of practice. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Yeah.
Okay, and then the other one was, you know, there's, I think you mentioned that there were four points in this verse, you know.
Yeah. Say them again? You want me to say them again?
Well, actually, what I want is, you know, when we have this, our, when we are experiencing our natural love in our relationship with Krishna, it, you know, understandably, you will want to chant Omis because, you know, because
love.
Yeah, because it's love.
Yeah.
And so I just want you to elaborate on how that love also spontaneously makes you want to do the other things also. It's not like by force, naturally doing those other things like being more tolerant, having respect for others will also come out naturally. So just if you could just elaborate on why that is so.
When you're humble.
When you're experiencing that love.
Right. Well, the love is in relationship to what? The love is in relationship to those feelings of humility. You know, you're feeling humble, therefore you're feeling that mercy. And then what happens is, when you feel love, you start to see through the heart.
For example, when you see through the heart, how come you will naturally be more tolerant than a true friend?
Because you're seeing how great God is, and how much mercy you're getting from God, and then you become very, very tolerant. For one thing is because you realize that this goal is so worth it, that the price you're paying is so little for it. So in that consciousness of lack of entitlement, you know, the things you experience are a small price to pay. You know, you don't have that sense of entitlement. So therefore, it's not, you know, why does this happen to me? You know, why are you doing this to me? I deserve this. I don't deserve this. That's coming from the platform of ego. And again, it's not a psychological aberration. It's this true feeling of love and devotion that becomes the lens of your heart, that enables you to see God, which is a humbling experience. If you think of what is God and how he's everything and all consciousness and, you know, and ever expanding, and you're getting a glimpse of that, and you're getting a drop of his love. And what's a drop of God's love? As it's over flooding your heart with that kind of ecstasy and devotion. You see, when you get mercy, you feel humble. Because when you get mercy, you're feeling your lack. The feeling of mercy is, I don't deserve it. So you begin to reflect on yourself. So they're playing off each other. It's the love and the humility and the love and the humility. Okay? Okay, now we will hand out a little prasadam. Please bring it up. And